The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station.
He's going to make you an offer you can't refuse. This is Peter Boyles on 710 KNUS.
Peter Boyles continues his tour in Germany. Historic tour. I imagine he will come back with some incredible, incredible stories for you. I'm Randy Corcoran from Saturday Mornings. I do Denver's only live local conservative Saturday morning show. And so I will be right back here tomorrow morning, 6 to 9 a.m. Hope you will join us then once again. It's just too much fun. There's no reason to sleep in on Saturdays anymore. And I'll be here Monday as well, looking forward to conversations with two people I really, really admire. They just stand in the fray and face the heat, and someone I've been hanging around with a fair amount over the last couple of months, and then someone that I almost never see but admire from afar. Michelle Malkin, Brigitte Gabrielle should both be joining the show on Monday when I finish my fill-in stint here for Peter Boyles, and very, very excited about that. In just a few minutes, we'll be checking in with David DiCenzo, who is the volunteer office manager for the Recall Leroy Garcia petition drive down in Pueblo. Garcia is the Colorado State Senate Majority Leader who really sat on his hands while extremely radical bills were being driven through the Colorado State Legislature, and did so in a way that was designed to make the people in Pueblo, an area that went strongly for Trump, as I recall, in 2016, believed that he was a more traditional Democrat, a more, not a big, big, big tax and spend, rubbers on bananas, drag queen story time at the library kind of Democrat. And fortunately, from what I hear, they got the signatures. The people down in Pueblo are not buying it. Anyway, we'll get that confirmed one way or another in about 15, 20 minutes. We've got a couple of lines are open, 303-696-1971. And before I go to Brian, I just want to, during the break, want to let you know, I was looking back at the Rasmussen presidential daily tracking poll from the time Donald Trump was elected. And, I know what the lefties will say, oh, Rasmussen, they're in the bag for Trump. They're in the bag for Republicans. Well, actually, they came closer than anybody to predicting the outcome of the 2016 election. But I'm sure these same detractors weren't saying that back immediately after the election of Donald Trump when, compared to Obama at the same time in his presidency, Obama's approval ratings were so much higher than Trump's. For instance, back in February of 2017, Donald Trump approval rating was at 53%. Obama's at the same time in his presidency was at 60. And that tracked pretty well, fluctuations. It's the daily tracking poll. But Obama's approval remained higher than Trump's at the same time in his presidency, right up until about January of last year, January of 2018. It's about 2 years into the presidency that in spite of 2 years of attacks, Mueller report, collusion, obstruction, the Trump making money off of the presidency, Trump being unstable, Trump needing to be removed. Trump, we're going to secretly record him and then we'll remove him using the 25th Amendment. 2 years of that, steady and nonstop. Think about the first 2 years of the Obama presidency. Really, the first 8 years of the Obama presidency. It was a love affair by the media. No tough questions. Remember his press conferences? He'd get asked maybe three or four questions over the course of 30 or 40 minutes because he would give unchallenged 10-minute answers. Just be an opportunity for him to pontificate, BS, utilize his charming personality and his great speaking skills, and just stand there with the adoring press and pontificate. Meanwhile, Donald Trump was being marched on, hates women, hates gays, hates Mexicans, hates anybody who's not a white nationalist. And yet, back in January of 2018, the tide began to turn. And with rare exception, you can scroll through literally month by day by day on this tracking poll, and Donald Trump's approval ratings are higher than Barack Obama's at the same time in his presidency. And for instance, this week it culminated with an approval rating for Donald Trump on the 16th of October of 50%. Obama at the same time in his presidency, with everybody loving them some Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winning Before I Do Anything Because of What I've Promised to Do president, was at 45% at the same time in his presidency. So for all the folks who say, oh man, Trump is so despised, so hated, he's going to go down. I would be very, very concerned if I were you. But I'm not concerned because I'm not worried. I am very confident in the reelection of this president. And the more the Democrats lie and flail and jump on every statement, every word, the Mick McIlvaney statement yesterday, unbelievable. I have news for everybody. Get over it. There's going to be political influence in foreign policy. That's going to happen. Elections have consequences. We do that all the time with foreign policy. Of course we do. Quid pro quo. He's admitted it. He's admitted it. Those were the headlines all over everywhere. Sorry, guys. American public is burned out with your BS, and it's simply not going to happen. All right. Well, that's a great warm-up, I guess, for Brian, because now that I look at the screen, he wants to talk about Donald Trump and re-election. We'll see which side of the fence he's on as we welcome Brian into the Peter Boyle Show. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Randy. Hey, I got to admit to you, I'm one of those guys that's 49, never voted before. Then when Trump came down the escalator, I've watched him ever since. Because I kind of knew the other ones, it was kind of like, well, which is the least of the two evils? Trump is actually somebody that people actually love. I mean, he's a president we love, not somebody we just have to, you know, settle for. And you can see that in his rallies. I actually went to both of his rallies here in Denver when he was running, but they've even gotten better now. So just God bless Trump, and I'm glad he's our president. And I think he's gonna win in a landslide coming up in 2020. You look at these people that go to his rallies. I mean, you've never had that, and we're watching history be made. You've never had that with any president where he's adored. I mean, that's my opinion. So.
Well, it was interesting to me after I got home last night. I watched a few minutes of the very beginning of the Trump rally because I've never paid real close attention to that walkout, you know, when the song is being played, the theme song is being played, Proud to Be an American, and Trump comes out and smiles and claps for the audience and walks around and nods. And I was just paying close attention. I was watching on my cell phone, so it was up close, and I was paying close attention to the faces and the, you know, the mannerisms, the body movements of especially the women in the audience that they zoomed in on. And it really is almost like rock star adulation. They're you know, if Trump happened to give them a wink or a look, they were, you could just see the joy on their face. Your point is so important. This is not, okay, this is our president and he's better than the other one, and so we're going to have to try and support him. People will stand for 4 days to get a chance to hear this guy in person. And the enthusiasm doesn't have to be ginned up. His mere presence and his performance and the fact that he is just taking on the world with a big smile and a big punch really gets everybody going. It's an excellent point.
I'm just waiting for these deep state Republicans to kind of get the picture. You look at Hickenlooper's already, or yet. We've raised $2 million already. And Cory's, he's got to get it together. He's got to come out. He's got to stand up for Trump now. He's got to quit hiding in the weeds all the time. You know, you get sick of that stuff. You get sick of the deep staters, too. Trump is actually out there fighting for this country. Without him, could you imagine if Hillary was elected right now? We would be in a lot of trouble. So, you know, hopefully the Republicans will learn something from Trump. I doubt they will, but maybe.
Well, I said this a lot yesterday. We took a lot of calls on Cory Gardner, and after the Ken Buck interview, you know, people need to affirmatively state that I stand with and support President Trump. It's okay to disagree on a decision or a policy from time to time, but if you're going to be a Republican and you're going to be distinguishing yourself by talking about some difference you have with the president, part of that conversation should be... Go ahead.
God bless Trump and God bless...
Yeah, yeah, something very, very simple. You know, I support the tremendous economic success of this president. I appreciate his love for and care for our military, which is now, you know, in such great shape after 8 years of decline. Just something, instead of always simply leaving the negative out there. These politicians, and I'm afraid it may include Cory Gardner, that think they're going to win more votes by distancing themselves are just flat wrong.
Hey,
Yep, Brian, I think we've lost you. Well, we'll put you back on hold, see if Billy can work that out, and if not, we'll move on. 303-696-1971, open line, 303-696-1971. You see the things that Donald Trump talks about, Democrats being the party of high taxes, high crime, open borders, late-term abortion, socialism, and blatant corruption. The Republican Party is the party of the American worker, the American family, and the American dream. He didn't say the white Christian American worker, the white male Christian American dream. He's talking about Americans, all colors, shapes, and sizes, genders, and those in transition. And people feel it. People are understanding that. And then on the opposite side, you have, for instance, Kamala Harris, who shows up in Iowa, obviously very, very important state coming up. Those primaries are, what, in April? And about two dozen people, that's 24 for Democrats, about two dozen people seated on hay bales showed up to hear her roll out her $100 billion rural plan. Now, you know, that's going to sell with giveaway Democrats. It's not going to sell with business owners. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Oh, we lost Brian. So, all right. 6:15, Peter Boyle Show. High today around 65 degrees, a lot cooler than yesterday, man. It was 65 degrees still at 9:30 last night. It felt like to me. Decent weekend, mostly sunny, 67. Showers possible on Sunday. We'll cool down into the 50s, and we could get as low as 48 degrees for the high by Thursday of next week. So, you know, get ready. We are more than halfway through October. Halloween is now just around the corner, less than 2 weeks, and the weather, it is a-changing. Kamala Harris, though, it's just unbelievable that when you have an economy that is sailing, when even just average workers are making more money than they have, bigger increases than they've seen in literally a decade or more, more jobs than there are people to fill them, unemployment, again, you almost get tired of saying it, at historic lows across all different demographics. And they come out talking about how they're going to, the Democrats, Kamala Harris in this case, rolls out her $100 billion plan. And what she says is she'll provide up to $10,000 a year in tax credits for every full-time job created in rural areas. So she's going to give anyone in a rural area who opens up a company or a farm or a business, a new office or whatever, and hires at least three new full-time workers, including at least one who lives in the community, She'll give them up to $10,000 a year in tax credits. Now, you're talking about an economy right now where, you know, people, for my law firm is a perfect example. We cannot find people to fill certain roles. It's taking forever to hire people. You're having to compete for people with a bonus or a higher salary than you might have been comfortable paying just a couple of years ago. But yet she's going to try and bribe voters with a $100 billion giveaway. And guess how she's going to pay for it? Number one, she'll cap the benefit at $250,000. So $250,000 for a company that hires up to 25 new employees. She said, "I'm here to pledge to you that as a priority for me, the issues that impact rural America are the issues that impact America and are the issues that I prioritize and will always prioritize," blah, 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 Kamala Harris. So it'll cost over $100 billion. Guess how she's going to pay for it? Just take a guess. She's going to come up with $250 million. $250,000 per company that hires 25 new workers, $10,000 per worker for a plan that costs over $100 billion. So in other words, giving tax breaks to corporations by, wait for it, by taxing corporations. Let me say that again. Kamala Harris is going to provide $100 billion in benefits, up to $250,000 per company, $10,000 for every new employee hired. In other words, a corporate tax credit. And she's going to pay for it by increasing taxes on corporations. This is the logic of the left. It makes absolutely no sense. And set aside the blatant and obvious stupidity of I'm going to tax corporations in order to give money to corporations. Set that aside for just a minute. Ask yourself, if a corporation has increased costs, increased prices for its parts or its material or its labor force or, yes, its taxes, how does it cover those? It increases prices. Duh. So you pay for it. Any way you look at it, you pay for it. You'll be glad to know, though, in addition to Kamala Harris's $100 billion plan to give money to corporations by and pay for it by taxing corporations, you can breathe a sigh of relief because she's also going to spend $80 billion to provide broadband to every American home by 2024. This is basically the 21st century version, the 2020 version of the Obama phone, right? Giveaways, giveaways, giveaways. And the problem for the left is for people who are out there actually working, feeling the success, seeing the opportunities, especially if you're a business owner or a small business owner, seeing the potential for growth right now and the vibrancy of this economy, you're not looking for a giveaway. You don't care about their giveaways. She's preaching to the Democrat base that is obviously going to vote for whoever the Democrat nominee turns out to be, but not saying anything that's going to be appealing to the average American who's just out there working, succeeding, raising their family, happy to be responsible for their own family, their own decisions, what church they want to go to, whether or not they want to attend the drag queen story reading time at libraries all around the country, etc. In a successful economy, in a long, long stretch of peacetime for the United States, setting aside the skirmishes and some of the things that go on and not diminishing the loss of life or limb that occur in any of them, in these long stretches of prosperity and peacetime, the Democrat message is, I'm here to make life better for you because it's so horrible right now under the other guys. It's a loser. It is a massive, massive loser. And that's why when I see, for instance, the Moody projections that show Donald Trump winning 43 states, something like that. It was a landslide, bright, bright red map. Colorado, unfortunately, not included in the great redness. It's pretty easy to believe. And the obvious thing that you can see watching it every single day, watching how these Democrats react, is that instead of talking about what they're for, what they're going to do, how they're going to save you money, improve your roads, make for better schools, all they talk about is taking money from successful people to give it to programs that are proven to fail, and then flail away at this president with every new news headline. They cannot win any other way. They've got to take him out. It's so obvious that they know it. And it puts a little smile on my face. All right, we've got some phone calls. We need to take our break. We will also be speaking with Dave DiCenzo, who is the one of the volunteers over there at the Recall Leroy Garcia petition gathering movement in Pueblo. And we will find out if they got their signatures done in time, if the recall vote will be on the ballot. What a message that would send to Democrats for their ridiculous overreach during the 2019 legislative session. So let's take our break now. We'll get to the phones on the other side. And I appreciate you being here on the Peter Boyle Show. Randy Corcoran staying with you on 710 KNUS.
The Peter Boyle Show.
Back at 628, still dark 30. No sunrise yet. High today around 65, 67 tomorrow, then some showers perhaps on Sunday as we have the slow cooling trend. But pretty pleasant morning this morning. Really felt good to get out in the fresh air. With no sleep, you enjoy that sort of thing. Anyway, I'm Randy Corcoran here for Peter Boyle's. Just a moment, we're going to be joined by volunteer office manager for the Recall Leroy Garcia campaign, David DiCenzo. But I did promise to take a call from John because I was fascinated, I think, if I understand what the question is going to be. Good morning, John. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning, Randy. You got a good show.
Appreciate it.
I'm getting nervous, Sam. So is Lou Dobbs. You know, every time I watch Hannity, Dobbs, there's Jim Jordan, whom I think the world of, Sarah Carter. Every time they got something that's going to break, then all of a sudden you don't hear anything about it. As an attorney, what's going on? You're an attorney. What is going on with all these reports? Lou Dobbs is getting mad about this.
Yeah, it's a great question, John. In fact, this came up last night as we were ignoring the Bronco game in front of us. One of my Harley riding buddies, a two-time Iraqi.
I don't want to interrupt you, but just for a second, I think maybe I know what's going on. But anyway, you can go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, well, see if you agree with me then. We were talking about this. Guy's been a real strong Trump supporter, loves Trump's love for the military and just so many of the decisions that he makes. And we were talking about it, and I have been speculating for quite a while, and I still continue to believe it's all about the election. It's all about the timing. Let the Democrats continue to shoot their loads of lies and BS and misdirection and distraction as Trump continues to hang on to 50% approval ratings. And then as we get closer to the election, start exposing the actual crimes that occurred prior to and right after the election of this president. What do you think about that?
Great minds think alike. That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
My question would be, you know, I don't know how to say this, but let's get real. Everybody pushes the envelope. Come on. Would this be legal? My idea is Trump must see Bill Barr once in a while. You know, in the byway or something, would it be terribly illegal if Trump said, hey, can you hang on to this information for a couple more months before you drop it?
You know, it's interesting. I would doubt, I don't, illegal, no, inappropriate to be strategizing like that with a law enforcement investigator. I think what you do is you hire good people and you trust them to understand. The timing can sometimes be everything. Plus, here's the thing. I mean, I think Bill Barr, he gave a speech the other day at Notre Dame, I think, that about religious freedom that was just so spot on. A deep thinker, well-read, grounded in history. He understands the significance of the moment, And he also understands that if he's going to actually expose crimes within the federal government, he's got to have every I dotted, every T crossed. So I just think they're taking their time. These reports are going to be voluminous. And it's very, very exciting as every day goes by to know that we're closer to the next one, that IG report that should be dropped here by the end of the month.
Well, it's supposed to have been dropped this week.
Yeah, I know. We keep hearing that. But, man,
well, another question.
All right, got to be the last one. I've got a guest waiting now, so go ahead.
Okay, a guy like Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows.
Yeah.
And this type of, I mean, this is some serious stuff they're reporting.
Yeah.
Do they have any real power? If they really want to report, can they go to the Justice Department and say, hey, I have a right for this report and I want it within 48 hours?
I don't know enough about the interactions between the different branches. That's the executive branch versus the congressional branch. If they were in the majority, then they could be holding committee hearings and deciding, as I think the Senate should be doing more of, since Lindsey Graham and other Republicans are in charge in the Senate. But I think as the minority party, they have to just kind of hang on and make their noise when they can. I will tell you this, John, before we go to our guest, and that is I have met both those men, spent more time with Meadows than I have with Jim Jordan. But they are very impressive, very serious,
oh my God,
and high integrity to men. And so when they speak and they drop these hints along the way, I don't feel like they're playing games or trying to raise funds or anything else. They know what's coming, and I think we can all just rest
One
assured
other thing,
that the gig
see
is
if
up.
You agree. Lou Dobbs seems to me like a very sincere, honest person.
Okay.
I think when he gets mad, he's not panning to the camera. He's actually mad.
I agree.
And yep. He's pretty upset about what's going on.
Yeah, well, you know, that could be a little bit of both. I mean, we all want this stuff out and exposed, but I always remind folks who say that the election is a year away, and, you know, October surprises can really make a difference.
That's what I'm hoping for.
All right, John.
There's something going on up there.
We shall see. Hey, thanks for waiting. Good stuff.
Okay.
All right, see you later. All right, sorry to keep you waiting. David DeCenzo down there in Pueblo. Good morning, sir, and welcome.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. You sound great. And you've been running the office for the Recall Leroy Garcia petition drive down there in Pueblo. Let people know, since we're up here in Denver, and, you know, it's been a while since we've talked at length about some of these recalls. Most of the ones that were started didn't last very long or didn't turn out very well. Let folks know what went on with Leroy Garcia, the Senate Majority Leader in the Colorado State House, that led to you guys taking this action, and then give us an update on where you're at.
Well, Leroy is the Senate President. He was a senator for 4 years before that, and he didn't do too badly. Nobody had any recall ideas. But this past year, we've had a number of bills that have come through, and being the Senate president, he is the one that could send them to the kill committee. I think there's one in the House and the Senate, and kill it if it's bad for Pueblo. But he didn't take that action, and a number of bills came through. I guess the national popular vote is one example, which people are kind of mad at. There was a petition drive to put it on the ballot. I'm not sure which ballot it's going to be on. And then
it's going to be on the 2020 ballot.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Another bill is the sex education. When the mothers and grandmothers hear about that, they immediately sign. Pretty much. They don't need to hear any more. I'm not sure exactly on the details of that, but I believe it goes all the way down to kindergarten for mandatory sex education in our public schools.
Yeah, let's just focus on that one for a second. Is your time good? Because we'll only have about 4 minutes. I'd like to keep you through the break and talk to you on the other side as well.
Sure.
Good. So let's stop then and focus down on this one, just to remind people how bad this was. You're right, it applies to starting in kindergarten. And it's not just describing the anatomy, the differences between boys and girls, or some, you know, just baby level conversation about reproduction and how mommies and daddies make babies or whatever. We are talking about making these children aware of people who have gender dysphoria and how normal that is and how important it is and how special they are and rubbers on bananas and just crazy stuff. And the thing that terrified me, you can have different feelings about, you know, the appropriateness of starting at a young age or what level of information is really important or proper to share with a child, especially about some of the crazy things that are going on. But these curriculums, some of them written by, paid for by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I know. It's
terrifying.
These ladies, they just get excited when they see this, and they are mad. They are mad. So, let's see, the next one is Senate Bill 181, which was a bill to enforce setbacks on oil well drilling, natural gas well drilling, and the fracking. And so it's obviously controversial, but what it's done is, or what it's doing, we've had layoffs of the roughnecks in Weld County and other places, and I think it was Grand Junction. Halliburton just laid off 178. So it's obviously jobs are going to be lost in the oil fields. But in Pueblo, our steel mill makes the seamless pipe for going in the wells. So we're going to have less business because there will be less wells drilled. So that's a direct hit. But the third thing really is that the price of natural gas, I'm guessing if we have less natural gas wells, is going to rise. And we produce our electricity in Pueblo with Black Hills, and it's a natural gas-driven, a pair of turbines out at the airport, at the Pueblo Airport Generating Station. So if the price of gas goes up, naturally in our fuel adjustment line in the bills, that's going to go up. So it's bad for Pueblo, these bills. So there's a number of them. And then there's the ERPO bill. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Emergency.
Extreme Risk Protection Order, red flag.
Red flag, yeah, right. So in that one, the issue or the claim is that he didn't vote. Well, it's 19, he has 19 votes. So the 35 senators, 18, 17 is the win. Well, he's the Senate. He's I don't know if it's the whip or what he's called, but he's the one that counts the votes. He cannot vote. But he could have sent that to the kill committee, and he didn't do it. So,
or he could have whipped up some opposition, or at least spoken out in defense of his Pueblo constituents. Now, Pueblo was a county that did go for President Trump in 2016. Is that right?
It is. I can't remember if it's 400 or 800 votes. It was his margin.
Yeah,
but it was a three-digit margin.
But you know, the point is, those are the kinds of Democrats in Pueblo that, for instance, Trump, gathered up in Pennsylvania and Michigan and some of the other battleground states that he yanked out of Hillary Clinton's clear blue wall of defense. And those are the kind of regular Democrats that still exist. They really have no relationship to the current Democrat Party. And Leroy Garcia did not represent them in any way, shape, or form.
Well, he didn't. And, that's the premise of this whole recall. I mean, we didn't do anything for 4 years. He was fine. He was normal senator.
Normal Democrat.
But when you become senator... A normal Democratic senator, and sure, his votes went along, but the money has come in from out of state to support this opposition. There's, I think, $1.1 million in documented in Tracer that's come in since this year, and I know the ones that are opposing us, in particular the Our Colorado Way of Life, has gotten, I think, close to 200,000 coming in from New York and Washington, New York City, I think, and Washington D.C. It's all in Tracer; it can be looked up.
Yeah.
And
but big numbers for a single state Senate race from a distant county, at least here, you know, down in the heart of Denver, Pueblo County, just tells you how concerned they are and how important this is. And so here's what I want to do with David DeCenzo, the volunteer office manager for the Recall Leroy Garcia petition movement down in Pueblo. I want to go ahead and take our break, so we've got a good chunk of time with you on the other side. When we come back, let's talk to folks about what you guys went through in trying to gather petition signatures and where you stand if this thing is going to be on the ballot. We'll do that when we return with a great guest, hardworking folks. I was a part of the 2013 recall drives, and we were down in Pueblo and elsewhere. Ken Clark, my old buddy from Grassroots Radio Colorado, who will join us in the 8 o'clock hour, by the way. It was just great to be on the ground, see the success of those recalls, and understand what it's like to knock on those doors, speak to people on their front porches. And so David DeCenzo and the great group of people down there in Pueblo have been doing that not necessarily day-to-day rewarding work. And they'll tell us the results and what it was like, kind of opposition they faced, including a little violence I think you're going to hear about. And we'll do that all when we return here on The Peter Boyle Show at 710 KNUS.
Become a 710 KNUS insider, and you can listen to podcasts of your favorite 710 shows anytime with no commercial breaks. This special free offer is available for a limited time to 710 KNUS Insider Club members only. Go to 710KNUS.com for complete details. Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone, or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
We're going to pick up where we left off on the Peter Boyle Show. I'm Randy Corcoran, speaking with David DeCenzo, volunteer office manager for the Recall Leroy Garcia movement. It was bad for Pueblo.com, bad for Pueblo.com. Today is their deadline to turn in signatures to the Secretary of State to get the recall vote against Leroy Garcia onto the ballot. And when this movement was announced and started, I remember that Garcia bragged about how safe he was, how strong he was, that he was elected with 75% of the vote. And he said something along the lines of, people have no appetite for a special election. And so we've got several minutes here, but I don't want to run out of time. Let's just go ahead and cut to the chase, and then we'll backfill a little bit. What is the status of the petition drive? Will you be turning those petitions in today? Do you have the numbers?
We are we'll be driving up this morning. We're planning to leave at 10 o'clock and get there at 1. I guess we have to go through this thing called the gap. Yeah. And we're going to be turning in a couple of boxes of petitions. I'm going to let the Secretary of State, as is her job, or her office people's job, to count the signatures for us. We don't have a count.
Okay. All right. Are you making any predictions, or are you just holding out the suspense?
Yeah, we're holding out the suspense. We'll let them do their job. And I don't know. I think they have to do the count. There's a time period. I think, is it 5 days? I don't know. Oh, no, it's 5 days for Leroy to decide whether to resign or not, I think, after the signatures are prepared, which is a good strategy for them. And as was done with Evie Hudak in Senate District 19.
Yeah.
And Zelzinger, I think, was appointed, I think. So.
So by this time next week, we'll know whether Leroy Garcia thinks that there are enough signatures to put him on a recall ballot, huh?
Right.
All right. And so you had to gather 13,500 signatures, which means what? You had to get 16,000-17,000 in order to make sure that you know, you had enough of actual certified signatures. What was the number that you needed?
We needed 13,505 and a quarter, so 13,506.
Okay.
It's 25% of the people who voted in the election in 2018, I think.
Yes.
Right.
Sounds right. All right. Well, that seems like a daunting task. There's a video up on Colorado Peak Politics showing really, really interesting to look at this guy who he's in a USA T-shirt, big old round belly, and he's walking through saying these people are fraudulent. They're trying to get your identity. They're going to take your identifying information. They're not going to turn petitions into the Secretary of State. And then he flips off mothers and grandmothers and children who are around this event as he walks off. And I will note he's also sipping on a plastic straw.
That fellow, I think, is about 6'2". I'm guessing he's 280, 300.
Yeah, he's round.
He's standing over a sub-5-foot grandmother with her cell phone pointed up in the sky. And you can see the video.
Yeah,
so, and then he walked off. But there's more video from that incident that hasn't been put up yet. But, he is denigrating. And basically, he was sent in my opinion, to disrupt and cause us to leave. And immediately after that, we did leave. All the volunteers left that Chili Fest. They wouldn't. The Chili Fest organizers, the Chamber of Commerce in Pueblo, would not give us a booth, even though there were empty places where booths, you could see that there were empty spots where booths could be sold to us. And we wanted one. We asked for it. We didn't get it.
Well,
after that, we kind of borrowed a space from a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we went through a whole lot of drama down in Pueblo. I had the opportunity to represent the organization in trying to work with the city attorney. I talked to the chief of police down there and trying to identify what rules, how far we could push the envelope to be at, Walmart parking lots and other places where massive amounts of people are going in and out. So they were definitely trying to push back in every possible way to keep you guys from gathering the signatures.
Yeah, I can talk about what happened at Walmart, but one of the things I want to do if we're running out of time is I want to talk about two possible amendments to our Constitution that I think would help us with redress of grievances and to support our First Amendment, make them law. If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about those.
Well, why don't we do this then? Will you stay through one more break, and we'll postpone our 7 o'clock guest for 5 minutes and take one more bite at the apple on the other side. Is that okay for you?
Yeah, sure.
All right, good. It's 6:55. Yeah. We'll go ahead and take our pause now. We'll wrap up with David DeCenzo from the Recall Leroy Garcia campaign, and then we'll transition right into Christy Burton Brown. She's the vice chairman of the Colorado State GOP. After my interview yesterday with Ken Buck, there were some questions from listeners about what's really going on with this new leadership and the current status and effectiveness of the Colorado State GOP. So all that's ahead if you stick around on the Peter Boyle Show. Randy Corcoran here, 710 KNUS.